On May 15th and 16th, Marble City Opera is presenting the professional premiere of Suites by Kate, an opera by Griffin Candy. Today, I'm joined by the composer himself, as well as the general and artistic director of Marble City Opera, Catherine Frady, who is also performing the title role, Kate. Griffin, Catherine, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, how you doing?
So Suites by Kate is a new opera that pretty much none of the audience members that are listening will be familiar with. So Griffin, why don't you tell us a little bit about what happens in the show?
Suites is an opera that is about two women who come back to the first woman's hometown to run her family candy shop after the mysterious death of her father and discover a lot of hijinks that is happening there. Her family made a quite literal deal with Satan, and Satan is still in the town disguised as a grumpy old man, and it's kind of all of the hubbub that happens therein with the devil trying to take over.
So where did you draw inspiration for this work? Was this based on any tale or personal event?
Weirdly, it's the shop itself is based on a very real candy shop in Marquette, Michigan, where I live right now in the UP, called Donkers. And there is an idea that actually my wife and I first kind of toyed with, and it was an idea of a shop that kind of becomes successful based on sort of a not literal deal with the devil. I brought that idea to the librettist Tom Miller, who is wonderful and super inventive and really character-minded and has great comedic timing. And we kind of spun out, you know, kind of which direction we wanted to go with it, and also we toyed with the idea of making it a very literal deal with the devil as opposed to figurative. So yeah, it kind of morphed from there and took shape.
Now, the shop owners of Donkers, are they aware that their store has inspired an opera?
Yeah, they are actually. My parents-in-law actually know the current owners, and we've chatted with them about it. And they were like, well, that's a thing that I never thought was going to happen, but...
But cool.
They thought it was really entertaining, and they were like, you know what, you should bring it up here sometime. So maybe we will.
Now, how many times has the opera been performed?
This will be the second time. It was done the first time with a young artist program in Illinois, the Midwest Institute of Opera. And that was kind of like a premiere workshop thing with some young artists. They did a great job. Catherine was in that first performance, as was Ryan Colbert, who's also one of the smaller Comper Mario roles. Catherine talked to me about bringing it here, and I absolutely was thrilled.
So as the composer, you've invested a huge amount of time and energy in this work. What's it like to see it come alive right in front of your eyes?
It's pretty, I would say, magical. That sounds kind of cheesy, but especially when you write by yourself, just you and the librettist kind of mulling over these ideas and investing yourself in these characters and everything. It is very magical to see other people inhabit those characters, you know, to actually dig into the characters themselves and make them really more round than you could have made them just the two of you by yourselves.
Were you surprised by anything? Were there any moments that looked different than you would have expected, or things that sounded a little differently than you might expect?
Yeah. There's always tweaks that happen in the way things run and the way, you know, the score, and just to make things run more smoothly. But again, there's plenty of times where there's a small moment. I didn't think of it as a big comic moment, but those end up being, you know, the big peaks of the scene. And yeah, whenever people really take it on live, it is a much truer version of the story than you could ever make it yourself.
Now, Catherine, queen of multitasking that you are, you're not only the general and artistic director of Marble City Opera, but you're also playing the role of Kate in this show. So why don't you tell us about her character?
Kate is one of the girls who's coming back from they're coming to this town from San Francisco, and she is in a relationship with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is the daughter of Joe Brigman, who owned the shop before, and her mother is the one who made the deal with the devil. So she, of course, doesn't know this, and Elizabeth had a pretty contentious relationship with her father, and her father wasn't, you know, really pleased about her lifestyle, and so that's why she had moved off to San Francisco. And so the girls are coming back after the funeral. Their first encounter is with Carl, who is the devil, and he's, like, very upset that the girls are coming back because he wants to take over the shop. And But Kate is bubbly and cheerful and happy, and Liz is struggling. You know, she's going through a lot, and I think that Kate is always trying to, you know, balance that out within the town and try to help her be happy with what she's going through, and try to help her through it. But then also see, like, was this what's most important to you? Should we really be here in this town, or should we be back in San Francisco? And it really comes to it. There's actually a new little dialogue scene that Griffin added since the last time we did it, which really helps the story along between Elizabeth and Kate, where Elizabeth is like, oh, did you hear that? You know, she said that my mom would be proud. And I'm like, oh, well, is that why we came back? Like, did we come here to make your parents proud, or are we here for us? Like, what's going on? And which really helps in terms of when the town turns on the girls, they get into this fight, and Elizabeth is blaming Kate for the town turning on them. And Kate finally has this amazing aria. Thank you, Griffin. It's fantastic. I get to start with this nice, big, like, Elizabeth, stop. And it's this high B flat, and it's fantastic. I love it. And so it's a pretty amazing little role.
Joining you on the production is director Scott Skiba. Can you tell us about the direction that he's taking things in?
Well, Scott is really playing up what Griffin wrote, really, and this realism versus this comedy. So we're really, like, trying to find the moments where the girls are and the townspeople are, you know, their normal selves. But then when they're under this potion, that they become these crazy townspeople, and everything's like bigger movements, and we have like a bunch of frozen poses and like huge gestures and facial expressions, and it's like very, very musical theater-y. You know, it's kind of going in that direction with a lot of movement and a lot of excitement. But then it's not, I mean, it won't be your typical opera, although there are some opera references for, you know, the opera lovers of town. So if you've seen a show recently in Knoxville, you might notice some
tips of the cap.
Tips of the cap to some
tips
of those.
Of the cap.
That's right, exactly.
This production is unusual in many ways, one of which being that it's accompanied by string quartet, yes?
Yeah, it's, well, technically it's piano quintet, which is string quartet and piano. A lot of what's going on in the opera world at large, without going on a tremendous soapbox, is definitely a kind of a paring down of the sort of grand size and gestures and everything that's happening. One of the things that's becoming more and more important is mobility and flexibility, especially with opera being performed in so many new venues, not necessarily standard big theaters, but also like we're performing in a museum and a candy shop. So it helps that, you know, if the orchestration had been even eight instruments or more, it would have been a lot harder to find venues that fit all of the vocalists and instrumentalists. So
you're performing both shows in rather unusual venues. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, Sugar Mama Bakery, which actually has their grand opening this week, and we're going to be going in to their venue on May 16th at 8 p.m. And they're just fabulous people who run that shop. They're really excited about bringing us in. It's going to really give you the feel of the actual story, I mean, taking place in this sweet shop. Yeah. People are going to be entering from outside. We're going to be behind the counter, like baking and like selling things, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Also, the patrons can come in and purchase sweets beforehand. They also have beer on tap there, which is really exciting for a bakery. So yeah, that's going to be a really great time. Our opening night performance is Sunday, May 15th at 3 p.m. at the Knoxville Museum of Art in their auditorium, which is a great little space. It gives us a full stage, great stadium seating for the audience, and you know the lighting is limited in that space, but I think what we're doing with our costumes is going to like really play a lot into the storyline and the characters and be a lot of fun for everybody. So
if you both could use a couple of words to describe this show, what would those words be?
Energetic, hilarious.
I would say heartfelt.
Heartfelt. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is kind of a dual story between kind of the peppy exterior and then also sort of the Elizabeth's journey with Kate to sort of recognize that she doesn't need her parents' permission to continue to lead a full life. So it's really that's the core of what you're getting. So I would stick with warm and heartfelt and peppy.
And fun.
Yeah.
Well, if you're looking for something warm, heartfelt, and fun, I guess this is the place to find it. Catherine Griffin, it sounds like it's going to be a great production. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marble City Opera is presenting Griffin Candy's opera Suites by Kate on Sunday, May 15th at 3 p.m. That show is held at the Knoxville Museum of Art. Another production can be seen on Monday, May 16th, starting at 8 p.m. at Sugar Mama's Bakery. Tickets and more information can be found at marblecityopera.com.